Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Oh, that is so 90s.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No John, no Lance. You guys get the esteemed pleasure of myself, Jermaine Every, and my partner here, Craig Koshkin, to fill in for those guys on The Bench.
The pleasure or the agony? I'm not sure which one it is.
It's pleasure, damn it. Okay. Just roll with it. Okay. Live on 97.5 and SportsBap 94.1. If you want to call in, the HRP listener line is 713-780-3776. Beautiful Andrew will love to take your phone call right now. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at @_Jermaine. That's Jermaine. He's at @C_Kosh. That's Kosh.
Thought you were going to forget the H there for a second. I was a little worried.
Nah, I just had a little pregnant pause. That's okay, all. That's no big deal. So, first hour, we bounced around a little bit. We talked a lot about James Harden and the Rockets and the idiotic takes of Max Kellerman. We talked a little bit about some Christmas stuff and just things that we like. And we talked a lot about, we talked a little bit about that absolute abomination of a bowl game.
Yeah.
Last night.
I mean, that was... It's got to be the worst bowl game ever played. The bowl game that got canceled yesterday was better than that.
I believe so. There was at least a nice touchdown run before it got canceled.
Exactly.
So there's that. So we have bowl games coming up today, and the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl is actually tonight between Baylor and Vandy. 2-6-6 schools. Vandy is a team that hardly ever makes bowl appearances.
Very rare.
Baylor is a school that was once a pretty top contending team and fell off because of a horrible scandal.
We could also say they got there because of the horrible scandal as well.
Yeah.
That's part of it. That's part of it as well. When you put winning above everything else, that's
kind
of what happens.
But they're turning it around.
And Matt Rhule is a very good football coach.
Oh, for sure.
Matt Rhule, I mean, to have this, a team that lost to Liberty, an online school, basically, last year,
mm-hmm.
and went. I think they went 2-10. It may have been 1-11 to be 6-6 this year. Had close games against Texas. They ended up beating Oklahoma State, which is another yep. bowl team. I mean, they had an okay year. I mean, they definitely had a bit of a bounce back from a 1-11 or a 2. I can't remember which they were specifically, but including a loss to, like I said, basically an online school. Liberty University beat them at football last year.
Yeah, that was a pretty that was like, I want to say, the lowest low point of their football season last year was that Liberty
and it was
loss.
Opening weekend, so it was all, I mean, at least they hit rock bottom in week one, so they could get, I guess, a little bit. But this game tonight is interesting to me. We talked about this yesterday on the national side, and I was going with Vanderbilt as of yesterday. And I think I still am going to side with Vanderbilt because during bowl games, defense typically travels, whereas offense with the time off can lose its rhythm a little bit.
For sure.
I'm just not sure. This game is an interesting one to me.
The one thing I am interested about in this game is to watch Baylor's wide receiver Jalen Hurd, who used to be a running back at Tennessee and was a very good running back at Tennessee. Totally changed his body type, took some time off from football to get himself together, came back, and is now a wide receiver at Baylor who has almost...
A very productive wide receiver.
Yeah, he has right at almost 1,000. I want to say he has 940 yards receiving this year and about 4, 5, 6, 7 touchdowns, something like that. I mean, the guy was a phenomenal running back. He's 6'4". At that time, he was about 230, 240, 250, pretty big guy. He's trimmed down to about 217 is what they have him listed at right now. So I'm really interested to see how he performs in this bowl game.
He's been very good. Defense. And they have a second wide receiver whose name escapes me, who is a big go-up-and-get-it type receiver, which you see all around the Big 12,
yeah,
who is very good as well. Charlie Brewer is better than serviceable as a quarterback, and he's young. He will continue to get better. He's a sophomore. He'll continue to get better. Just because of the defensive aspect, we saw Vandy go on the road and play Notre Dame very close earlier in the football season. I mean, Vanderbilt doesn't really have a marquee win on their schedule, but I mean, Baylor's marquee win is against the 6-6 Oklahoma State team, so I don't know that they really have a marquee win either. I will take defense over offense, but this was a game last year in the Texas Bowl between Texas and Missouri, Big 12 SEC matchup, where the Big 12, granted, Texas defense last year was actually decent, came to play and locked Drew Locke up pretty strongly, and Tom Herman certainly secured the bag and got them a win.
Yeah, that always will stick out from that game was the whole bag thing and the back and forthness of it, and eventually Texas, you know, just put them away. But this game tonight, I took Vanderbilt. And I teased you about it, and I'm going to tease you about it again because I think that...
They play in the SEC East. Just stop. the SEC East outside of Georgia is a joke. And Florida's okay, but Florida is higher ranked than they should be because of one win against LSU, who is also not as good as they have been the past 5-6 years.
And when you look, honestly, that LSU-UCF game, I kid you not, I will not be surprised at all if UCF beats LSU.
I won't either because there's a couple things. One, UCF is actually a good football team. They're not a great football team. They're not a top four football team, but they're a good football team. And LSU looks at the schedule and they see UCF. It is just going to be natural, despite how good UCF is, for them to have a mental letdown. And I believe Greedy Williams is not playing and Devin White is, or do I have that backwards?
Greedy Williams is not playing, but I believe Devin White will play.
Yeah, so that's right. Greedy Williams is not playing. Devin White is. So LSU, who has defensive backs up and down their roster that can play, is going to be down their best defensive back against a team who's very good at throwing the football.
Exactly. That spells a recipe for disaster. Going back just quickly to Vanderbilt, the one reason why I did pick them in this game, and I'm thinking about making them my college pick since my college pick got canceled yesterday, which is probably a good thing for me. Vanderbilt this year, 8-4 against the spread.
Ooh, I like that.
That's strong. Baylor
is strong.
5-6-1 against the spread this year.
Vanderbilt is favored by 4 in the game.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, given those trends, I could see you picking Vanderbilt. I'm picking Vanderbilt as well. I think it's close. I would actually take Baylor in the points. I think it's going to be because I don't think Vanderbilt's going to score up and down the field against Baylor either. I am also the worst sports gambler known to man. So take what I say and go the opposite way, and you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, it's going to get pretty interesting when you look at some of these games and picking against the spread, so on and so forth. Like, for example, in the UCF-LSU game, UCF is 9-3 against the spread this year. LSU, 6-6.
That's pretty surprising.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Yeah.
Well, looking at this Baylor Vanderbilt game, I got one question for you. Given that it's two private schools that don't necessarily go bowling all that often, but it's still two private schools, how empty is NRG going to be tonight for this game? Do they fill the lower bowl?
I think they do fill the lower bowl.
Okay.
I think they fill the lower bowl because they're two private schools, so you have to be either kind of smart or kind of rich to go there.
Or both.
Or both. Those type of people tend to have money. Those type of people tend to take vacations and travel.
There's not a lot of them, is my point.
There may not be a lot of them, but there are some. And plus, Baylor is not too far from here, so there could be a lot of Baylor alums in the area.
I'm just going to tell you, it's not going to fill the bowl. Texas' biggest alumni base is in Houston, and they couldn't even fill the lower bowl last year for the Texas Bowl.
We shall see.
I remember. Look up and down the bowl games. Look at how empty these stadiums are. It just shows you why there should not be 41 bowl games.
Exactly. I said they should cut it down to about 30 because I don't like the idea of 82 out of the possible 130 Division I teams going to a bowl game.
16 outside of the playoff bowl games.
Bro. Chill. I like bowl season. You're doing too much.
But I like bowl season too. Play 16 of them and play them over the course of like 5 days. So there's a bunch of games stacked on top of each other.
No, I don't like that idea at all. We need have 30 bowl games. Cut it down to about 30. Let about 60, almost one half of the teams go, which is about what it looks like in when you think about it. The NFL, there's 32 teams. 12 of them make the playoffs. The NBA, there's 30 teams. 16 of them make the playoffs. MLB, there's roughly, 30 teams?
Yep.
There's 8 of them make the playoffs.
Good. There's actually some incentive to be good at your sport, not find your way playing for a championship when you're
under 500. It's like 10 of them or something like that in MLB.
No, it's 3 division winners. And if you want to count the wild card.
There's 2 wild cards.
If you want to count the wild card,
that's why
one play-in game, you can say 10. There's really 8 teams that make the playoffs in baseball.
True. But, I mean, it's just I like a lot of bowls the way it was before.
Good Lord, we couldn't do without the Idaho Potato Bowl or the Gasparilla Bowl. Yeah, that's a thing. The Gasparilla Bowl.
The names have gotten utterly ridiculous. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the bench live on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to The Bench, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. I am Jermaine Every. That is Craig Koshkin. We are not John and Lance.
We're not?
No.
Okay.
No, just making sure everybody knows that.
That's right. We are not John and Lance.
So we're looking at some of the bowl games coming up. And
the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. God, we couldn't do without that one, could we, Jermaine? Got to keep that one in the rotation.
Bro, the Dollar General Bowl. You know it's gone too far when Dollar General has
a
bowl.
How much cheap toilet paper do they give out at that bowl game?
What kind of swag bag is Dollar General giving out at the Dollar General Bowl?
So it's interesting. So all these bowl games have gift packages that they give to the players, and the NCAA allows you to keep up to $500 in gifts or whatever for the bowl games. And I believe they get them at like wholesale price. So you can get if you get a PlayStation, it's not $400. It's
right.
$150, whatever the wholesale price.
Right.
Of one, $250. I don't know what a PlayStation costs wholesale, but I mean, I have no clue. They're not giving away Dollar General gifts, that I can assure you. A Dollar General $500 shopping spree.
Dude, do you know how long that would last?
Ages.
Like, seriously.
It'll last you 500 items. I can do the math.
I guarantee you, college kids, if they had a Dollar General gift certificate for $500, I know how they could spend it all within about a month or so.
Ramen?
Beer.
You can buy beer at a Dollar General?
You can buy beer at Dollar General.
I might go through that in the night.
This is, I found this out. I went to Dollar General. I was looking for these little basket little thingies to do. I needed some of these little baskets. So I was like, okay, I just need to find some cheap little baskets to put index cards in, right? I'm walking around Dollar General and I realize, like, okay, let me get me something to drink. I need a tea or something like that. I go by the cooler and I look and I'm like, wait a minute. That looks like beer. And I just stood there in amazement for a minute or so, like, Dollar General actually sells beer. And they have it in the cooler. It's not just out sitting. And it's not like cheap Dollar General type of beer that you would think. I mean, they have like all the regular brand beers that you would see like at a corner store. Really caught me off guard. But I think I've made my choice for my college football pick for the Gal Media Pick'em Challenge.
Oh, let's hear it.
Got canceled.
I can't wait to hear it.
I think I'm going to take a chance and take the over in the Miami-Wisconsin game.
The over? What's the number?
It's 46.5.
Yeah, I could see there being enough apathy on the field for sure to get the over there.
Well, and the thing, well, no, wait, it's actually 45.5 when I'm using the site that we're supposed to use. So I need to hurry up and send that in to AJ Hoffman right now before I change my mind. Because you guys know, like yesterday, I was waffling back and forth. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I take this game? Should I take that game? But I think I'm going to settle on this over, mainly because Miami's rush defense looks a lot better statistically than what it actually is.
Okay.
And Wisconsin can blow you off the ball with the traditional big, you know, country corn-fed offensive lineman they have. And they have a running back who's rushed for right at 2,000 yards, the quietest 2,000 yards in the history of college football.
Yeah, no. I agree with that. I think it's a good pick. I think taking the over there is a good one. Just to touch back on the Dollar General Bowl, here is the prize package for the Dollar General Bowl.
Oh, hit me with it. I need to hear this.
It's actually strong. Like, it's really good. Yamaha soundbar with a built-in subwoofer.
Oh, damn.
A Timely Watch Company watch, Maui Jim sunglasses, and a Wilson game ball. I mean, like, that's not terrible.
No, that's strong. That's not Dollar General.
That's not the top
coming
of the
up
top,
in the world.
But it's strong.
You know, I wonder, normally there's always a website out there. I'm going to see if I can find it right now, where it shows you the different swag bags for the bowl games.
I'm looking at it right now.
You got it up?
Yeah, I've got it from SI.com right now.
Perfect. So, perfect.
For your PlayStation Fiesta Bowl for your LSU Tigers.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's sponsored by PlayStation, so it's all PS4 related. You get a PS4 gift package including a console, controller, games, a Fossil watch with your name engraved on the casing, and then a Ogio X-Fit backpack.
Nice.
I mean, it's nice. Sponsored by PlayStation. Of course it's going to be PlayStation.
You know, and it's Sony is the parent company of PlayStation, so you know you're going to get some nice swag. Tell me what, let's see, let me pick a bowl game here.
Okay.
Tell me what's the swag bag for the Bad Boy Moore's Gasparilla Bowl.
Let me get to it. You're gonna have to find some filler while I get to this.
Because the thing is, I'm always interested to see what these companies that sponsor these bowl games put into these swag bags. And you have to basically get into the mind of a pretty much a 17 to a 23-year-old, basically, because they're not always going to be 18 to 20. You want to think in that age range. Would they like?
So this one's bad. So it's a gift suite. I've seen what the gift suite is. Like, it's not specified. Mm-hmm. It's basically they just line up 50 different things that you can just pick from to get up to a certain number. So so I saw the University of Texas put out a video for the gift suite for the Sugar Bowl while players were going through and kind of picking them. Like, you could get an Apple Watch, or you could get some Bose headphones, or you could get a couple gift cards thrown in there. Just all different types of technology. So there's watches and rings. I think one of the cooler ones is actually for tonight, the Texas Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They all get a personalized like belt buckle.
Nice.
Like super really nice hand-engraved belt buckle. I think it's pretty cool.
Now, that I'm not going to lie, that does seem like it's pretty cool.
And they get an Academy gift card, so there's that as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But see, here's the drawback to getting the Academy gift card. There is a drawback and there's not a drawback. You would have to use it online if there is no Academy near you.
Well, if you're Baylor, you're fine.
If you're Baylor, you're fine. But I think about Vanderbilt. There is, I guarantee, there's no way those guys are going to be able to use that.
Not Nashville.
You would have to take the team bus on the way to back to the airport, stop at Academy, and then just let the kids use it. Because, I mean, if think about it. If you order it online, that shipping and everything is going to eat up some of that gift card.
Is the VRBO Citrus Bowl the best one? Although the Camping World Bowl pretty much has the exact same thing. $400 Best Buy gift card, Fossil watch, OGO backpack with a luggage tag.
Ooh.
I mean, like $400 to Best Buy for a college kid.
That's strong.
So this is pretty interesting that they do this for the bowl games. Because for basketball, I have a buddy who played college basketball at Rice. And he, even at the conference tournament level, they got gifts. Like, he got a TV one year for going to the conference tournament. And then when you get to the NCAA tournament, you get a different little gift suite or selection of gifts or whatever, gift bag or whatever you want to call it, for every weekend of the tournament that you make it to.
You know, I should have asked my cousin that, because when he played at SFA, they had a couple runs in the tournament while he was there.
Yeah, ask him what he got.
Yeah, wait, this is what I really want to know. Is the Jarrett Birmingham Bowl actually sponsored by Jarrett the Jeweler?
I'm certain it's not Jared from Subway.
That POS.
Yeah, completely. And if it is, shame on you, NCAA. Way to send a message.
But I need to know, what was in that one?
Let me find it for you. This is not the easiest.
That was Memphis and Wake Forest last Saturday.
Oh, this is going to be at the bottom of this list.
It's probably gonna be at the bottom of the list, but Wake Forest ended up pulling out that game 37-34.
So it was a gift suite plus an Oakley backpack or sunglasses, a cooling hoodie, and a football.
A cooling hoodie?
I mean, it's probably one of those, like, you put in I don't know what a cooling hoodie is.
Here's where that confused me, because if you're putting on the hoodie, that means it's cold or it's cool outside or wherever you're at. Why would you need the hoodie
Don't you want a warming? Well, I will say this. People who work like landscaping jobs in the summer typically wear layers to stay cool. So a cooling hoodie would be useful there. But usually it's light layers, not something heavy like a hoodie would be.
Exactly. That one kind of baffles me, but okay. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
But that was always one of the interesting things. I think... Here's my question to you guys. Andrew, I want to get your input on this also. You're a college football player. You're going to a bowl game. Would you want the gift bag with the stuff in it, or would you like the gift suite to go and peruse and pick and choose what you want?
I mean, I'd probably take the gift suite, I think, just because it's a little more control. But it depends on the bowl game. Like, if I'm going to the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, just give me the gift bag. I mean, I'll be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm with Craig on that. Obviously, if it's some no-name bowl where you don't even know what they're offering, you'd probably prefer the suite so you have your choice of things. But if you've got a brand name like a Sony, take the dang gift bag.
Yeah. So the thing that gets me about all of this as I'm looking at it, the gift suites or packages or whatever you want to call them are not necessarily better because you're going to a better bowl game. That's kind of the most amazing. Look, the Capital One Orange Bowl, which is the semifinal between Alabama and Oklahoma, there's a gift suite, so, I mean, there could be some good stuff in that. A Torno watch, a personalized bobblehead of each student athlete.
That's it?
That's it.
Man, get your ass out of here.
For making a semifinal, that's what you get?
Wait a minute, bro. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
That's horrible, man. Come on. You got to come up with something better than that.
Way better. I mean, that's awful.
Orange Bowl, we're going to give you this commercial break to redeem yourself.
They're not
come
going
up with
to.
Something better.
For the record, they're not going to.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. We'll be right back after this break.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're back on The Bench, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. I'm Jermaine Every. That's Craig Koshkin, beautiful Andrew on the boards. And we were talking bowl game swag. What the players actually get as the gifts. And I think I found one of my favorites.
Let's hear it.
From the Cheez-It Bowl.
The worst bowl game ever played in the history of bowls gets the best gifts. That makes sense. That's fair.
They get a Fossil Watch engraved case back. JBL Charge 3 Bluetooth speaker. Bago Bag Toss tailgate cornhole set. And it's customized with your school logo and everything on it. Yeti Roadie 20 cooler, a Yeti Rambler, a duffel bag, a Rumi Reveal quart bag, I'm not sure what that is, branded Bills cap, Dollar Shave Club starter set.
So that just tells me, that gift package tells me how overpriced Yeti coolers are. Right? Because, I mean, if you're only allowed $500, and granted, we've established that this is wholesale price, mm-hmm. but if the wholesale price is such that you can get one of those Ramblers and an actual one of the soft coolers, which retail for like $200.
Yep.
That just tells me how overpriced that stuff is. I mean, unreal if you're going to pay that much for what essentially amounts to a status symbol. I can afford a Yeti cooler. Good for you.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think my favorite part about that was the logoed cornhole set.
I saw a picture of it. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I'll take the Bluetooth speaker and run with it. But
oh, for sure, for sure. Now the Alamo Bowl, and they play the Alamo Bowl. Isn't that out in San Antonio? I can't remember what stadium they played at.
The Alamo Dome,
right? A dump.
It is a dump, but the Alamo Bowl is actually a pretty fun bowl game to go to.
It normally is the Alamo Bowl, the Holiday Bowl. And there's a couple of other ones that used to be traditionally good bowl games to watch.
You remember a couple of years ago, we saw one of the best comebacks in an Alamo Bowl when TCU played Oregon.
Right.
TCU was down like 28 at the half, and they put a kid in who hadn't played a snap his entire career and comes back and wins the game. It was such a story that Disney actually bought the rights to make a movie of his story.
Yeah, It was like recently.
It was 4 years ago. Yeah, it was when Trevon really Boykin recently. Went out the night before the game and got arrested.
Yes.
And that's why he didn't
yes.
play.
Yes.
And then Trevon Boykin went on to go be drafted by the Seattle Seahawks and got caught in a domestic violence deal, and he's no longer playing football. So
dumbass.
Super.
But super the Alamo dumbass. Bowl has a $425 Amazon gift card, Fossil Watch, mini helmet, team panoramic photo.
I mean, $425 Amazon gift card. The problem with the gift cards is rather than wholesale valued gifts, you're paying retail prices for things that you want now.
True. That is true. But I'm just saying, though, I'm thinking in the terms of a college kid getting this. Here's one that kind of, it doesn't say the dollar value of it, but at the Outback Bowl, you get a Fossil Watch, Jostens Ring, $125 Best Buy gift card, a hat, and it just says Outback Steakhouse gift card. Does not say the amount.
It's got to be whatever the remainder is, but underrated thing at Outback Steakhouse, their wings are phenomenal.
Really?
Their wings are incredible.
I have not tried the
wings.
They're
horrible for you. Like one serving of them is like 2,000 calories. But they're amazing.
Might have to try that.
You got to do that this afternoon or this evening or something. I mean, they're amazing. The one I can't find is the Cotton Bowl, and I think I've figured out why.
It probably sucks
because they can't put a dollar value on 20 minutes of Jerry Jones' time. That's what you get. You get to spend 20 minutes with Jerry Jones, which is the worst prize ever.
What?
It's played in Cowboy Stadium. I mean, like, I don't know why they wouldn't put it in there, but
that's stupid.
It's ridiculous that they wouldn't put it on there. It must be the worst prize ever, which would be 20 minutes with Jerry Jones, because who wants to spend time with a decrepit old man?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. We pass. Pass. It'd be interesting, but
if it's anything like the Capital One Orange Bowl, which is the other semifinal, it's going to be a terrible gift bag, too.
You know, it's just terrible. I can't believe that they would actually put that as part of the gift set. Like, what can you get? And I guarantee you it's not 20 minutes one-on-one time so you can kind of pick his brain or anything.
No, he's going to spend 20 minutes eating dinner with the team as a whole.
Exactly.
That's not really, I mean, like, that was, I'm being stupid intentionally on this one. Not that it takes much for me to be intentionally stupid, but.
Anyway, I'm still amazed by some of that kind of stuff. It's pretty fun to kind of look at and just different things that, you know, you want to see. And I'm kind of stalling for time because I'm waiting for Sports Map to reload. I'm waiting for Fred to put out that article because I really want to get to it. Maybe we can get to it tomorrow if he doesn't put it out today. But
one thing I want to touch on, since we're talking about the ball games and all this stuff, one of the underrated experiences you can have at the ball games, again, I touched on this on the national side yesterday, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, which is played in Yankee Stadium, which is
a really weird place
to have. I don't like baseball stadiums outfitted for football. All those years with the Oakland Raiders playing where the Athletics play, where you have the infield there. Now, that won't be a problem for this, I believe, because I think they put grass on top of the dirt.
Yeah, they grassed it all out.
Game. But my brother has been to the Pinstripe Bowl. And one, new Yankee Stadium is not old Yankee Stadium, but it's still a pretty cool place to go watch an event of any kind. And two, if you ever go, and this is the fat kid in me, I'm just fat in general. This is the fat person in me telling you what to do. Go sit in the corner of the end zone, which is normally terrible seats, but where home plate normally would be for a game. And if you do, those behind home plate seats give you access to the club level in Yankee Stadium. And when you go into the club level, it's like the top end of the top end food and drink and all that stuff. And all of it is included in the price of your ticket. Whatever you want, go in there, spend the whole time in there if it's terrible weather, because let's face it, it's December in New York City.
Right.
It could be horrible weather. Watch the game from in there, and it's like all you can eat sushi and all you can eat whatever you want. And then as you're going out to your seats, there's apparently this just line of cubby holes filled with like stadium peanuts and popcorn and candy and stuff. Take whatever you want. It's all part of the price of your ticket. And I believe, don't hold me to this for certain, I believe alcohol is part of the price of your ticket as well.
Oh boy. So basically what you're telling me is,
apparently there's an academy outside of Nashville.
Oh, nice.
There is one.
So,
the Vanderbilt players will be fine.
Okay, just, cool.
Mark Villalobos decided to tweet in and tell us that.
So good looking out, Mark. I saw the tweet, but I haven't checked it yet. But yeah, that's good looking out, man. Damn. But you know, the thing that I'm trying to find out, how much are those tickets? I'm looking it up on StubHub right now to just see you know, the roughly going rate. It says starting at $60. So I'm betting $60 is somewhere like in the outfield upper deck, more than likely with Yankee Stadium.
Probably. But I mean, also you have to consider this from a football perspective. Those seats are not prime football seats. Corner of the end zone is not where you want to be for a football game.
True.
So from a football perspective, those seats are going to be on the cheaper side despite all the perks that come with them.
Yeah,
that's true. Do you really want to sit front row behind home plate on the corner of the end zone? No.
Okay.
Nobody wants that seat. Now, for a baseball game, that seat's probably $3,000 a ticket.
Okay, so I'm looking at it, and kind of corner of the end zone, let's say section 216, prices start at about $80 each.
And this is also, like most pre-New Year's Day bowl games, other than the semifinals, of course, they're not going to be full. So the going rate for tickets is going to be cheaper than normal.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Now, it's looking like that these tickets aren't as bad as one would think. Some of the field tickets are going for about as cheap as $110 a piece.
Again,
not too bad.
It's just not going to be a full bowl game. Bowl games don't fill up except for the semifinals. The Sugar Bowl will fill up because it's Georgia, Texas. I mean, I think any of the New Year's Day 6 bowls will fill up.
I tell you what, I went to the Texas Bowl a couple years ago. LSU played Texas Tech. Pretty damn full.
Okay.
Pretty damn full. That music means we're about to hit a break.
Yep.
We'll be right back on ESPN 95 and ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. I can't talk today. Obviously insane.
Hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I'm in love with the go-go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. You got Jermaine Every and Craig Koskin filling in for John and Lance. And guys, for this last segment, Fred got his article up.
Thank you, Fred.
And we teased it earlier. I was just waiting on him to finish it up and put it up on SportsMap. Please go to houston.sportsmap.com and visit. We have a ton of awesome content on there, and they're uploading new content just about every single day. Fred and Josh do a really good job of getting stuff uploaded to the site, and especially go and click on all of my articles.
Specifically your article.
Specifically mine.
But not that's not a biased take. That's just
no,
because yours are so good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. So Fred put out his top 10 Houston sports athletes, or top 10 Houston athletes of 2018. Mind you, this is just the calendar year of 2018.
January to December.
January to December, ranking these top 10 athletes.
And I'm going to try and guess how many of the 10 I can put on that list.
Because I looked at the article since I knew it was coming. Yep. I didn't tell Craig. Craig did not look at the article.
I have not.
We want to see how many of the top 10 Craig is going to guess.
We were going to do it by position. I can't do that because I can't be in Fred's head and how he's going to rank them.
No.
That's too much. So let's see if we can start off with an easy one. J.J. Watt.
Yes, J.J. Watt is on the list. J.J. Watt is actually at number 5.
I think that's about right, considering coming off injury, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Number 2, taking Houston world by storm as a rookie and playing, well, the rookie year doesn't matter because it was 2017. Deshaun Watson.
Yes, Deshaun Watson is on the list. Deshaun Watson is at number 7.
Okay.
So you're 2 for 2.
So I'm going to switch sports here. I mean, James Harden, as reigning MVP, has to be on the list.
Number 1.
Okay.
3 for 3.
I'm going to switch sports again. Someone who was in the MVP race and kind of became a household name in the world of baseball, Alex Bregman's got to be on there.
Bingo. 4 for 4. Alex Bregman is at number 3 on the list.
Jose Altuve.
Yes. Right again, you're 5 for 5 now. Jose Altuve is number 8 on the list.
He came in 2017. Chris Paul's got to be on the list.
Yeah, number 10.
Okay. I mean, that's almost not on the list. I could have been wrong there.
So I almost missed the list.
So that's going. Man, DeAndre Hopkins has to be on. He's the best receiver in the league. He's got to be on the list, right?
DeAndre Hopkins is number 2.
Okay. Okay. I was worried because he's kind of quiet when it comes to off the field stuff and all that stuff that he may not. I mean, he does a lot in the community, so I don't want to take that away from him either. It's just he does it kind of quietly, so I didn't know if he'd make it. So now we're getting the nitty gritty. I'm 7 for 7.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 3 more on the list.
Yep.
Justin Verlander,
number 4.
Okay, all right, Justin. He's got to be on the list.
There's 2 more. Number 9.
And like number
and
8.
And number 6.
Number 6. 9 and 6. So there's one I really want to say, but I just don't think he's going to be on the list, despite being all around. He's a basketball player. He loves to say, he's got I-45 tattooed on his arm. I'm going to say Gerald Green, but I really don't think he's on the list.
Nope.
I didn't think he was. I mean, like, he would have been on my, he would probably have been my, like, my number 10. Like, barely making the list, just because of his love for the city. But his impact
we're talking
is
strictly performance.
You're right.
Strictly performance.
Oh, so that's, see, I was thinking there was other aspects of this, like off-the-field stuff and all that as well. So if we're talking strictly performance, that's, okay. That's completely fair. Then there's no reason for him to be on the list. In all, is there any chance Clint Capella's on the list?
No, sir.
Oh, man. The last two. Man, Tyrann Mathieu can't be on the list.
Nope.
And there's no way Tyrann Mathieu's on the list. Lamar Miller hadn't done enough. He can't be on the list. Carlos Correa on the list?
Nope.
Okay, good. And he shouldn't be. All the time he's been injured. He should not be on the list. Charlie Morton on the list?
Nope.
Man, I don't know. You're going to have to give me the last two. I'm out.
One of them is fairly obvious, and I'm surprised you missed him. The other one isn't as obvious, but he should be.
Okay.
I'm going to give you football.
Who am I missing in football?
The obvious one in football, Jadeveon Clowney at number 9.
Okay. All right.
He did have a really good year.
He has.
He has had a really good year.
He's made it to the point where the Texans may franchise tag him. He's played well enough to where they might keep him around for one more year to see if he's worth a bigger long-term investment. Okay.
The other one, not so obvious, and I knew you weren't going to get this one. Derek King, quarterback for U of H.
That's a really good play. Would not have guessed it.
Yeah.
He belongs.
Yeah.
I was thinking strictly professionally.
Yeah.
I was not thinking college ranks, but even if I were thinking college ranks, I wouldn't have pulled De'Eriq King out. Dude. I would have pulled Ed Oliver before I pulled De'Eriq King, despite the fact that Ed Oliver was hurt most of his 2018.
Yeah, he was hurt a ton, so I could see why he didn't make it to the list.
100%.
But De'Eriq King's performance before he got hurt was just...
He was a 4,000-yard passer.
Un-freaking-real.
He was a 4,000-yard passer in a 12-game college season. Well, 13, they played in their conference championship game. But
right.
Oh, no, they didn't play. They lost on the last game of the season and didn't play.
Yeah. Just to put it in perspective, De'Eriq King, this year, 63.5% completion percentage. He threw for 2,982 yards. 36 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. So a 6-to-1 touchdown interception ratio.
That's really phenomenal. Now, I would have never guessed De'Eriq King, but he certainly belongs. Is he 9 or 6?
He's 6.
Fair.
The most interesting thing I love about the way Fred put this list together is that when you look at the list, De'Eriq King is 6, ranked just ahead of Deshaun Watson at 7.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Here's the reason I'll say that. I'll say I'm cool with that. Despite leading the Texans to their longest win streak ever as a franchise, there's work left to do for Deshaun Watson. De'Eriq King kind of did all he could. Major Applewhite didn't have a really good year coaching this year for U of H. Ed Oliver being hurt limited the defense and their ability to get enough stops to have U of H win more football games. I think that's and like I said, Deshaun Watson has more work to do.
Yeah, he has a ton of more work to do. I really like how he, you know, everybody kind of thought that they were going to see that sample size last year translate and extrapolate over 16 games this year was just unrealistic.
Well, and the play callings changed a little bit. The offensive line is significantly worse than they were last year, and they weren't great last year to begin with, obviously. Deshaun Watson got hit a bunch, which ultimately led to his injury that cost him the rest of his season. But there's some factors outside of Deshaun Watson's control that have led to that gaudy number that he put up last year coming back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, he still is having a tremendous year this year.
Great year.
And I'm really impressed because a lot of the times you hear that, you know, the fabled sophomore jinx with NFL rookies. They come in, they have a great rookie season, that sophomore jinx, they kind of take a step back. I'm pretty excited about what Deshaun Watson has done this year, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to be moving forward. Provided that they put a better offensive line around him, and he stops holding on to the ball so damn long.
So here's a question I have for you, since we're talking about his spot amongst Houston athletes in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say this article was written Monday instead of today. Should the Texans lose and the Colts win the division, how does that affect his ranking?
I don't think it affects it at all.
You don't think so?
I think what he's
done... You
don't
think after that 9-game win streak, not winning the division is a stain on every one of the Texans' rankings in that list?
It could be, but from what he's done so far and what he's been able to do for this team, I would say his spot on the list is pretty solid.
For the record, I think they win and win the division. I'm just saying. I'm giving a hypothetical.
Well, that wraps up a Thursday here on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Craig and I will be back with you guys on tomorrow, our last day of filling in. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Beautiful Andrew, thank you very much for working the boards for us, brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.